Our reading this week is from Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore his people return here, and waters of a cup, full cup, are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one wakes, so, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. For the season of Advent, it seemed fitting for us to consider the hymn, Abide With Me, for our midweek meditations. This hymn is a favorite of many, but as I've come to discover, there are yet many who do not know it. In our hymnal, it's placed in the section for evening, so also our agenda, which guides my practice, prescribes this hymn's first and last stanzas to be sung at a committal at the graveside of every funeral. And so it's an evening hymn. It's a funeral hymn. I think we might even call it an Advent hymn. As the skies darken, we're in the gray and latter days of the year, so at Christmas, the light of Christ will dawn upon us, as the final stanza said. This hymn resonates with the anxieties of the evening. It also speaks to those, and I think of our congregation particularly, who are older and who face death, know that it's coming soon. It even speaks, though, to the young, even to the children, who yearn to be with Christ. A little bit about the hymn and the writer. It was written by a pastor, Henry Francis Light, who lived in Brixton, Devonshire, England. It's a port city of England. And as is the case with most, or many of our hymns anyway, Abide With Me was written in the midst of a time of great suffering for Pastor Light. He was frail and dying, suffering from tuberculosis. He wrote this hymn some 3 weeks before he died, composed it almost as his own eulogy. And so he wrote this poetry to bring comfort not only to himself, to his own fears, but also to bring comfort to his family and all the beloved people of his parish for whom he had provided our Lord's pastoral care. The primary text that Pastor Light had in mind when he wrote this hymn is the Emmaus story of Easter evening. And we don't have church on Easter evening usually, so you probably don't hear this story too often. You might recall, though, that the same day that Jesus rose from the dead, that day in the afternoon, he met two people on the road to Emmaus. And both of them were grieving and sorry. Jesus walks with this father and son. And given that they were part of his disciples, the whole group of them, not just the 12, probably even family members, maybe his own uncle and cousin. So this story of Emmaus and Jesus walking with them on Easter afternoon and evening is actually a story about people recognizing Christ for the first time. Everything that they had come to know of this Jesus had to be seen from a whole new perspective. Indeed, they had to be given eyes again, even to recognize him. Jesus' story on this road as he walks with them is a repetition of the whole gospel journey. He rehearses for them everything that had happened and that led him to his death in Jerusalem. He opens to them the Old Testament, the scriptures, so that they can see that those scriptures are about him and explain why he came into this world. And this story that he tells them brings them great comfort. Indeed, at the end, they plead with Jesus not to go any further, thinking that he's going to go on from Emmaus. They plead for him to stay. Abide with us, Lord, for it is yet evening. While they didn't recognize him yet, that message that he has brought them causes them to yearn and long to be with him and to dwell with him. When are we looking for this kind of presence of Christ, for him to abide with us and stay with us? It's probably when we dwell in darkness, when evening comes. It's when we sit in the shadow of death. And who are we looking for when that darkness deepens? There's probably a similar kind of wanting and desire in us. It's at those times especially that we need to be close to God. That desire is built into us. We desire our Lord to be present with us, that he would shine his light in the midst of that gloom, of sadness, of darkness, to be present there, to abide with us, to join us with him into communion, to remain, to be with us forever. So these desires of our Lord to be with us and to be close at hand are especially felt when we're in darkness. So it's fitting for an evening, or in this case, afternoon service. The psalmist said it this way, "As for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped." The psalmist is saying that he's in darkness. You only lose your step or stumble when you're walking in the dark. Asaph, who wrote the psalm, one of David's tabernacle song leaders, tells us about his own internal darkness. He was envious of the prosperity of the wicked. When he looked at them, he thought that they didn't have any troubles, that they weren't even afraid of death. But when we consider ourselves according to others, we place ourselves in darkness. We're in the dark. For our worth and our value is not judged in light of others, but in the light of Christ. It's not based upon our prosperity, our pride, our abundance, our ease of life, even our riches. If we judge ourselves by that standard, we are in the dark. For all those things wither and fade, they die. They come and they go. Even the rich will ultimately face what Pastor Light faced, that is death. And no amount of strength can overcome a life that will pass away. What we need is life that will never pass away. There is no other comfort that will do, no other light for our darkness. For we are helpless. We need comfort. And this is especially true in the evening and when we are dying. For in the evening we think of all that we have left undone. Those whom we have sinned, we plead for forgiveness in our beds. And at death, we look back on our life and wonder the same. All other helpers have failed and all comforts have fled. Everyone in those moments is looking for someone or something to fill a loneliness. Even spouses, children, friends, sometimes help. But ultimately, Christ is the only one who can fill that empty place. We're totally broken and in need of Him. Nothing in this world abides, dwells, resides, remains like the Eternal One, Christ. Only Christ can abide in you forever, giving you peace that passes all understanding. Only He can fill us in a way that God can fill. And that's what those Emmaus disciples were feeling, hearing the word of God as He walked with them. They knew, for they felt it in their heart, that this man, this resurrected man, could fill their every longing. So also the psalmist Asaph, as he sang in the tabernacle, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory." Asaph knew that to dwell with God is to find comfort, to find hope, and light in darkness. For nothing has changed from the day of the tabernacle and temple to today. We still live in a suffering world, and we feel the decay of this world and the brokenness of sin, the attacks of the devil, indeed all the difficulties we face. When it's dark or night or near death, our defenses are broken down and we can easily get overwhelmed by that darkness. Even earth's joys grow dim and pass away. Everything is changing and is in flux. So we abide instead with the Eternal One, the Changeless One, Jesus. We look to Him who is faithful. The truth is, and this is a hard thing to convince people of, but it is true, is that we don't have the luxury of time anymore. The clock is ticking for everyone, old or young. Especially as we age, we feel this ticking clock. We savor every moment, not knowing how many more there will be. And as you look back and you see your children grow or grandchildren be born, you see in them this truth. And you also see in them the darkness of this world, the suffering, the decay, the good and the bad. As you watch children grow, you become all the more conscious of your own mortality, of your brokenness and your sin. You live in a fleeting world where your lives are just a blip on a timeline. The problem is sometimes we think we're so important and that we're the center of our own existence. And yet when we step back, as Asaph did in the psalm, and look at the big picture, you see that you're only a small part, a small, beloved part of God. Just a brief blip in the larger cosmic plan of God. It doesn't mean you're without value, for God loves you and gave His Son to die for you. The psalmist says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare your works. Notice where the psalmist runs to in the midst of his despair, of his darkness. He runs to God, the God who never changes, who it is an infinite source of comfort. And now for us especially, we see this mercy shown in Christ. Christ is the one who comes to comfort us, as he comforted those disciples on the road. For the mercy of the Lord endures forever in Jesus. He is the source of forgiveness. He sheds his blood for you. He shows us how much God loves us. Even before the foundation of the world, one thing has never changed. The Lamb of God was slain for your salvation. That plan has been from eternity. God's promised mercy is given. It is for you. You, a broken people, at times lonely, maybe melancholy. And maybe you don't know quite what to do when you feel this way. When you have that sadness or that darkness. And you probably already know that the earth's comforts will fail. All your pleasures flee. None of them actually take care of that lonely, dark despair. You need something bigger and greater. And that's who Christ is. The Christ who walks on the road is the one who speaks to you now. He works through his word, bound to timely means. The word of God, of course, endures forever. And everywhere that the word leaves its mark also endures forever. Thus, when Christ placed his name upon you, your baptism endures forever. When you long for sure promises that never change, run to Jesus and how Jesus gives to you his word. For Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He promised to come, he promised to die, he promised to have his blood cleanse you, to wash you, to forgive you. He promised to feed you with bread from heaven, to feast upon his own body and blood. Why? Because these things are eternal. They never change. They always do what they say. That's why those disciples wanted Jesus to stay in the evening. I think that's also why Abide With Me is such a fitting hymn for evening and for funerals and even in Advent. It confesses our want for communion and a longing to dwell with Jesus, the light, in the midst of a dark time. And he leads us from the darkness on a pilgrimage of comfort. We're searching for the kind of light that only God can give, and we find this rest in Jesus. Lord Jesus, abide with us, for the evening is at hand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.